Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, you're back. Welcome back.
Thank you. Costa Rica is lovely.
It's beautiful, huh?
It's gorgeous. We're going to have another retreat there next year, so anybody who thought, oh, darn, I missed this one, it's not over yet. In September, of course, we'll be in Tuscany, in case somebody wants to have that experience before Costa Rica.
I see.
Yeah.
So a lot of frequent flyer miles here.
Yes.
To keep
exactly.
up with Sherry Huber.
Exactly.
Tuscany,
you know,
in September?
There's no reason. You know, there's a lot of folks want to believe what their conditioning tells them, that awareness practice is dreary and grim and horrible. And so this is our little way of disproving that.
Uh-huh.
You know, why not, if you're going to practice awareness, why not just go to the most beautiful places that you can find to practice it? You know, it's so much easier to be present when everything around you is gorgeous and, you know, beautiful birds are singing and, and the food is fabulous.
And the food is fabulous.
Yeah. So, and then once you get the hang of it, then you can, you know, transfer it to home more easily. That's my contention.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sure there's some truth in that somewhere.
Well, it's interesting because you're talking about practicing in different places, and I had an awareness when I was moving from Southern California to Northern California. There was some knowledge that my stuff would sort of still be with me.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Even as I...
It's kind of like people leaving certain climates learn that cockroaches get in your suitcases, no matter how careful you are or how pristine the surroundings. They just want to go. And so as soon as you turn your back, these little critters just slide right into your suitcase and arrive in your new location.
Exactly.
And conditioning is like that.
Yes.
Our problems, our suffering, our ego identity just comes right along.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't even have to pay for the ticket. Just sits in the seat with you. And
yes.
Usually for most people arrives before we do. They're waiting for us as kind of the greeting committee.
Yes. And to me, that's both the challenge and the joy of awareness practice is it's all in me.
Exactly.
Over and over.
Yeah.
You know, I try to put it on other people.
Absolutely.
But they don't appreciate that.
Yeah. People will say, oh, well, you know, I should stay in this job or I should stay in this relationship because, you know, all my stuff comes up here. Well, all our stuff comes up everywhere. So we might as well have it come up in a pleasant relationship or in a job that we like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Circumstances don't alter it.
Yes.
Much as conditioning would like us to believe that it will.
Yes.
Because that's what keeps the dissatisfaction alive, of course.
Yes. And sometimes we get distracted as we try to change jobs or try to change relationships, thinking that we're going to get someplace new.
Yeah. And, of course, we will get someplace new, and we'll be right there with us when we get there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Wonderful. If you don't know Sherry, Sherry's been a Zen student and teacher for more than 25 years. She's the author of many wonderful books, including a new one coming out this spring called When You're Falling, Dive.
Yes. Acceptance, Freedom, and Possibility.
Acceptance, Freedom, and Possibility. Sounds like a good trio.
There you go.
Wonderful.
Who wouldn't want those?
Who
huh?
wouldn't want those? And that book will be coming out in a month?
May.
In
mm-hmm.
May.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Oh, yeah. It's not even a month, is it? Yeah. Less than 3 weeks now.
I'm very excited, too. I can't wait to pick it up. Great. If you'd like to join our conversation today, please give us a call. You can reach us at 650-723-9010. If you prefer to send us a question by email, we'd love to hear from you by email as well. You can send emails to openair@kzsu.org. And I'd like to welcome our first caller. I'd like to welcome Jeff from Culver City. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Sherry.
Hello, Jeff. How are you?
It's nice to hear your voice in this venue.
Yes, and thank you for finding us here at this new time and day.
Well, I got the email, and I couldn't resist. I've been carrying around in my wallet for about 6 months, I guess. I don't even know how long. It's gotten frayed and wet, but I have this little phrase that is actually, I'm sure, your phrase from one of the books or something you said, and I wanted to get, so it's almost like a cone to me because I can't figure it out. I've wrapped my brain around it 50 times. I know it's true, but I don't know how it's true.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So here's the phrase.
Okay.
It might probably sound familiar to you.
Okay.
Okay.
I hope so.
Right. Conditioning will pull you in, and under its tutelage, you begin to be the person it says it's protecting you from being.
Yes.
Yes, right, yes. Now I need to hear you tell me how that's true, because maybe I'll get it this time.
Okay. So let's see. Let's take something like fear.
All right.
So I'm afraid of, what am I afraid of? I'm afraid of intimacy.
Okay.
All right. And so conditioning, of course, has all kinds of information for me about intimacy, what it means about me that I'm not good at it or that I'm afraid of it, what it would mean about me if I were to get over my fears. Okay. Now, first of all, without conditioning, this is the critical piece for all of us. Without conditioning, none of this would exist as an issue. Okay? Because I've got to have somebody telling me that there's a problem, what the problem is, what my relationship is with the problem. Right?
Of course.
Because otherwise, there's no problem. It's just me going along through life. My relationships are whatever my relationships are, and that's all there is to it. So that incessant voice that we hear, the judge, the critic, the whatever, that's, you know, what I'm referring to as conditioning. So now conditioning is going to take me, which it has actually created.
Right.
Okay, because it has created me as a person who has this problem. Now it's going to solve the problem for me. At which, of course, we must always keep in mind, it is never going to do. Yeah, it can't do it. The first reason that it can't solve the problem is that the problem doesn't actually exist. So trying to solve a made-up problem is really challenging. And of course, it's the reason that people's problems continue throughout their lives. Why they do everything that they try to do to solve the problem, and the problem remains. Because it doesn't actually exist. Okay. So now it's going to turn me into a person who doesn't have a problem with intimacy, right? Now, what do you think the chances are of that? Because how does it do that? It points out to me everything that I'm doing wrong, every mistake that I've made, how it's not working because I did this or that, and how I always do. And okay, so by the time it gets finished with me, improving me, fixing me, solving my problem with intimacy, I'm probably incapable of any relationship with anybody, especially myself.
There is no problem. It creates the problem. And by creating the problem, tell me if this is true, by creating the problem, it's reinforcing itself.
Exactly. That is exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. Now, if the voice in my head said, you know, there really isn't anything wrong with you, but the only way I continue to exist is if I continue to get your attention, and the best way to get your attention is by telling you that there's something wrong with you, and I need to do that so that I'll continue to exist, I would say,
right.
Oh, no.
Okay, really?
I'm not getting a lot out of this relationship. It's tedious. It's time and energy consuming. No, there's no reason for me to do this. Right? So it presents itself as being on my side, necessary, helpful, essential to my well-being, the thing that's keeping me safe.
Right, right. I get it. So you're basically then, to say it again, and as I go through this, in understanding is that you're identifying with that false voice.
Yes.
Voices. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a voice inside my head. And I believe that number one, that it is real and valid, and that it has something essential and helpful to tell me. And once I buy into that relationship,
right.
Yeah, then, you know,
then it, you're it.
Yeah. Then we're doing the dance,
and
it's a dance of suffering.
Right, and that's right. And there is no problem.
And there is no problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, for most people, most conditioned human beings, just that sentence is so outrageous and threatening to say there is no problem. It's crazy. It's ludicrous. You know, it's only a fool would say such. Of course there are problems. And then the conditioned voices come in. And here's what the problems are. And here's why it's a problem. And here's what's wrong with you. And this is what you need to do. And, you know, once that, once they start laying that out, then it's obvious. Well, my gosh, yes, we have more problems than I thought we had.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that gets it for me. I mean,
good.
It just comes back to the same basic things, and maybe I can throw this thing away. But you know what?
No,
I'm
hang on to
keep it in my wallet for a while.
There you go. Hang on to
myself.
It. Just bring it out and go. Oh yeah, I get that.
Yep. All right.
Good.
Well, thanks so
Jeff.
Much.
Bye.
Bye, Sherry.
Jeff, thanks for joining us. Sherry, it occurred to me as you were talking to Jeff that the reason that conditioning stays in place is because we're not aware of this whole conversation going on,
exactly.
This relationship happening.
Yeah. It's a, you know, it's like a storyteller. And it's just in there creating the scene. It's describing the scenery. And this is, you know, this is what it looks like. And this is what's around you. And this is how you feel. And this is why. And the world is this way. And life is that way. And you're this kind of person. And these are the relationships. And it's just constantly creating, maintaining this reality for you. And until we pay a lot of attention, we just assume, well, but this is just me. And this is life. That's how life is. And, of course, I wish, you know, that I could throw the switch, you know, just about 10 seconds. Just throw the switch on that and let people experience what's there when that conditioned reality isn't.
Yes.
And then just go right back into it. And, of course, you think you had just entered an insane asylum.
Yes.
But when you're in there, this is a good example, right? If you're in the asylum and you've never been out—
Right.
It's the whole world.
You
and people
else.
In there are no crazier than people anywhere else, right? I mean, they're just folks. They're just,
exactly.
You know, just Fred and Martha.
Yes.
When you've had a comparison, then you begin to say, oh, well, my. So if we can have just even a split second where that yammy, yammy, yammy in
yammy,
our minds
yammy, yammy, yammy.
Yeah, is quiet.
Ooh, nonstop.
Yeah. When it's quiet, even just for a few seconds, we can see that something else, something I would say glorious, is possible for us.
Yes.
But not as long as we're identified with that. It's like living in a soap opera. Conditioning is exactly like living in a soap opera.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Up, down, lots of drama.
Oh.
Lots of suffering.
Tons of drama. Yeah, as the stomach turns. It's just, you know, it's us against them and never tell anybody the truth, and it's all for somebody's own good, and all these noble ideals that have nothing to do except self-service. And
yes.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. But until we step outside it, even for a second, we have no idea that anything else is possible.
Exactly.
Which is a commercial for meditation.
Commercial for meditation.
Yeah, because that's the quickest way I know to get a look. You know, it's like you're trying to see the picture, but you're inside the frame.
Yes.
And meditation enables us to walk across the room and
take a look.
Yeah, look back and see what's actually there. Have
yes.
a perspective on what's there that
yes.
We can't have when we're inside it.
Exactly. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. And I'd like to welcome our next caller. Lauren, you're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hi,
Lauren. Thanks for having me. Well, I'm calling with some drama, so
good.
I'm really just
drama.
Reaching out for some help here because I am caught, and I know it.
Oh, that's the worst, isn't it?
You know, it is, and I'm getting caught by, I'm seeing myself get caught by the shoulds that are working against me on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I've got
Now, Lauren, do you know the expression in Buddhism that describes what you're experiencing right now?
I don't.
Going farther and faring worse.
Okay? Going farther and faring worse. Okay.
Yep. So you can see where you are.
Yep.
You can see what's going on.
Yep.
You've recognized shoulds for what they are. You can see the world of duality.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know what it's like to be unstuck. You know what it's like to be caught, and it's gotcha.
It does, because the very next thing I think is, but what do I do?
Oh, absolutely. That is absolutely.
Very easy for you to say, Sherry, but what do I do?
Right.
Which I'm real aware is like, oh, yeah, well, there's a little more evidence for you.
Yeah. Yeah, because you even recognize that for those folks listening in who don't recognize it. That's the cry of egocentricity when it's been, or conditioning, when it's been caught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lauren, just one request. If you could turn down your radio from your end.
Oh, sure. Let me just turn it
down. Do we have a little reverberation?
We have a little echoing going on.
Ah.
And you know what? I might, I think I'm going to swing up to a different phone because that might be part of it too. So is that getting any better as I'm moving away from the
That's
computer?
Good.
Yes. It's,
okay.
Oh, it's very clear.
Oh, good.
Our lives should be as clear as this connection is. Okay, so you're seeing it all, and the shoulds are?
Well, actually, I am going to switch. I'm sorry for the delay. Hold on.
Okay.
All right, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Better yet.
Yeah, the old-fashioned phone.
No,
anyway,
there's nothing like old-fashioned, huh?
So the, exactly. What's happening is I have a friend who lives close by, and over the last several months, whenever I get together with this friend, I get this tug, and then I end up feeling very angry about this isn't an even relationship, I'm giving more, and she doesn't seem to be mine, but I'm not getting my needs met, and this is someone who I care about a great deal, and I'm starting to feel like, gosh, I'm, you know, the voice in my head is saying, you know, you're being used here, you know, she's taking advantage of you, and you're willing to do this and that for her, but where is she when you want to talk about you, or when you need help, or whatever?
Mm-hmm. And so, then you say, okay, that's right, that's true. I need to create a little distance here. And then the voices on the other side of the continuum say?
Well, I create the distance, and I stop calling, but I still get these calls about, can you help me, and the babies are crying, and can you just come over for 15 minutes, and 2 hours later I extract myself. And that's, I totally know that that's me, and I need to be responsible for being kind to myself. So I have a conversation with this person and say, you know, I'm having trouble with this and I'm not feeling so good about it. And I try to be really, say something hard, but be kind to myself and just say, I'm really having feelings that I need to work through and, you know, whatever. And she says, I don't have time to have this conversation. I'm very busy. I'm this and that. And I said, that's fine. I just need to ask you if you could just not call and ask me for help, because it's really hard for me to say no, but I can't right now. And she is very upset, and I'm very upset, and so.
And then there's a little cooling off period.
Yeah, and so I'm.
And
about
then she in, calls you and says.
Well, she's still not cooled off, and I'm still just not sure what I really want out of it, because I'm not sure what part of me is being tricked by egocentricity in the first place.
Let me ask you this, Lauren. Is this the first time this kind of thing has happened in your life?
You know, I think it's the first time that I've probably stood up for myself.
Uh-huh. So you're accustomed to being in this role.
I'm accustomed to taking care of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And usually giving more than it feels like you're getting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So,
and it just with my practice, learning to be kind to myself, and that's where it comes from, and saying, you know, this is all great that you're being so kind to all these people, but you're not being very kind to yourself in doing that.
Mm-hmm. And the breakdown is that you haven't yet learned when the phone rings and the person says, can you come over and help me, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
You don't stop and take the deep breath and check in and see if this is what you want to do. It's just kind of a knee-jerk, somebody needs me, okay, I'll go.
I'm getting better, but it's still even hard to get the conversation. And the part behind it is, the only time the phone rings is when this person needs something, and I'm angry about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Now, do you work with aspects of the personality at all? Do you think in those terms?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know the part of you who is the knee-jerk helper.
Yeah.
Okay, and is that
the one who says it's my job to take care of everyone else?
Yeah. Okay. And you know the one who wants to take care of herself?
Getting to know her.
Okay. And how would you describe her?
How would I describe her? You know, she's okay as long as the other one's not in the room.
Okay, right.
So if the other one's in the room, like, it's okay to take care of, she thinks that it's okay to take care of herself as long as it doesn't conflict with another person's needs. Then it gets dicey.
Yeah, okay. Okay, good. And then you also know the one who gets angry.
Yeah.
Gets upset and wants to blame somebody else for her problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. And does it feel important to you to work out this relationship between these three folks?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can see that your life is never going to be really free. You're never going to be really at ease and comfortable in relationships until the relationship between these three folks is worked out.
Yep.
Yeah, and there are probably other folks, other players in this, but these sound like the key players.
Yep, they're busy.
Yeah. And I would say, now, this is something that you're just going to have to look at for yourself and see if it's true, that probably the key player in this is the one who gets angry.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one who's really keeping the whole thing going.
Mm.
Now, it's presented as if she's the one trying to take care of you.
Right.
Right? But she's the one who has most invested in this whole thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the other two folks worked out their issues,
right,
what would there to be? What would there be to be angry over?
Tell me more about that.
Well, if you could just say, "Oh, sure, I'd love to come and help you. I have half an hour, and then I need to go."
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, I'm going to be busy this evening, and I won't be able to help. What would
there be in the present?
Yeah. What would there be to be angry over?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So there's a real incentive for her to keep this thing going so that she gets the juice of righteous indignation, blaming you, blaming the other person. I mean, she's really the source of the drama in this,
mm-hmm,
right? Because otherwise, those other folks are just doing what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah, even if you're being taken advantage of, if there's nobody getting upset over it, what difference does it make?
That's true.
Yeah. So that's the one that I would take a look at.
Hmm. And there's a belief there around that she's the one protecting me.
That's right. And I would project. Now, it'll take some, it's a good thing you have this relationship in your life because you're going to have to do some research, right? And it sounds like this friend is fertile ground for this kind of research. I would say that part is taking care of herself.
Tell me that again.
That angry part is making sure that she continues to have a big piece of the pie that we would call your life.
A whole lot of script in the drama.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in fact, kind of the star, the one who comes out on stage and rants and raves and carries on and blames and points the finger and tells everybody what they're doing wrong. So if it weren't for your relationship with this friend, if it weren't for these other two aspects of you, the one who has the knee-jerk take care of everybody response and the other one who wants to be included in that, I mean, she would probably like to be one of the people being cared for,
mm-hmm,
by this caretaker, right?
Yeah.
It'd be great. You know, you have 16 people that you're taking care of on a regular basis, and one of them is you. What a deal. It'd probably be more than you've ever had.
Sure.
Yeah. So I would keep an eye on that one who is angry. because I would say that she's the one who is keeping the whole thing rolling.
And what is that? How would one do that?
Well, now it's tricky, but if you just committed for whatever period of time not to be angry,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so in other words, if you go unconscious and you just give all your day away, then instead of letting that angry part come in and rant and rave and carry on, because, see, it's my contention that she's setting you up to give your day away and then beating you up at the end of it. So if you commit to, hey, I was unconscious, I wasn't there, so, you know, these aspects of my personality did whatever they needed to do to survive, so I just need to bring more consciousness to this tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
without indulging that anger,
mm-hmm.
see where it goes.
Hmm. I'll have to give it a try.
Yeah, and then let us know, okay?
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lauren.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Lauren. Sherry, we have another call. Before we get to that, you mentioned and talked a lot about aspects of the personality.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say a little bit about what that is for our listeners who may not be familiar with that?
Yeah, that this is just one way of looking at this survival system that we call our personality or our identity.
Okay.
You know, you're going along, you have a need, you're a little kid, you have a need, you can't get it met. Being the way you are, so you just kind of, your personality just sort of splinters off, and you develop this other way of being. And we just call that an aspect of the personality because they never go away. So there's that original need, and then there's this splinter behavior that you adopted in order to get your need met, and then maybe that doesn't work. And so you know, you start out and you cry when you don't get what you want, and then that's unacceptable in your family. And so you learn to manipulate. Maybe you learn to sneak when you get old enough. So you never have to ask for anything. You just sneak around behind the scenes and get what you want. Maybe you become really charming then, so that people don't see you as sneaky, because part of your manipulation is getting charming other people so that they think what a nice person you are. And then you get a little older, and so we're constantly, as we grow up, adapting in that way. And we literally are creating different personalities. So they're often called sub-personalities.
Uh-huh.
And most people have many, many, many of them. I kid people that the fastest way to check in is to look in the closet. You know, they all come out and buy different clothes. They buy different shoes. They have different hobbies, interests. Many of them have different friends. One woman said to me one time, oh, I could never have a party with everybody I know. I'd have a nervous breakdown. And that's because she wouldn't know who to be. Because she's this way with this person, and this way with this person, and this way. And many times people have a sense that I'm so many different ways with so many different people that I couldn't pull that off in the same room at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. To me, that sounds like it could also be fun, depending on your attitude.
Oh, it's completely fun.
Because you bring all of your different aspects.
Yeah. And everything about life is fun, depending on who's there. You know, when we're at center, it's all fun.
Yes.
So I compare that to, say, you know, from center, you're the conductor of a huge symphony orchestra.
Yes.
And you're just up there, you know, now you want strings, and now you want horns, and now you need percussion. And, you know, you're going through your life just drawing upon these different aspects of your personality for whatever situation. You know, you're in a with the phone company, and you need somebody who's a hard negotiator. So, you know, you just call on the hard negotiator who gets on the phone and says, now I need this and that. But now you're going to go see your grandmother. Well, you don't want the hard negotiator to go see your grandmother. Now from that centered place, you get to take advantage of all of these many, many varied ways to be. If you're identified with conditioning, everything is a problem. We're always in the wrong person at the wrong time. You know, the hard negotiator goes to see grandmother.
Yeah.
You know, the sweet little grandchild tries to talk to the phone company.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just a disaster, because it's like having a daycare with about 100 little kids in it, and there's nobody in charge.
Yes.
And there they are trying to survive. You know, they're trying to get the food, get to the bathroom, and get to the toys, and there's just nobody taking care of them.
Yeah.
So when we come back to center, it is all fun. When we're out of center, when we're in conditioning, the same exact folks are just a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Coming up at 5:40 p.m., we have the news, followed by Stanford baseball against San Jose State at 5:50 p.m. The Bot of Euphony comes on at 9 p.m. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll have our next caller on the line. Good evening, and welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We have our next caller on the line. I'd like to welcome Paige from Monterey. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Good evening.
How are you?
Doing well, and you?
Good, thanks. It's excellent. Nice to be speaking with you.
What's going on?
Well, I've read quite a few of your books and really enjoyed and learned a lot. I recently took part in one of your online courses.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I experienced going farther and faring worse. And I've been in that place for several months now, and it's been extremely challenging to stay present when, like you said earlier in the show, everything I'm experiencing is fairly negative. And
yeah.
I guess my first question, and it may be my only question, is just what kind of advice you would have or thoughts on staying present at that time when I can feel all these different parts of me wanting to scramble to do something to change mm-hmm. my situation. And I think I'm having a hard time finding the fine line or the truth between when it's really necessary to make that change in my life, either job or where I'm living, and when it's actually just my conditioning that's completely blinding me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the things that occurs to me immediately is that these kinds of decisions are never made in the head.
I know.
Yeah.
So they and I still go there. That's a strong pattern. It's unbelievable. It's force.
Yep. Yep. It's trying to think of something
right
that it's like. It's, you know, it's like a huge magnet,
right.
And it's just thud up against
right.
what it's drawn to.
Right.
And so, yeah, the conditioning wants us to go up into the conditioned mind to solve our problems.
Right.
And as we were talking about earlier with Jeff, it's making the problem. It's trying to get us to go up into our conditioned mind to solve.
Right.
So, you know, and I know that this is a bizarre kind of thing to present to people, but alas.
Well, I wouldn't have believed it if I wasn't experiencing it.
I think
someone shared something about being on a silent meditation retreat for like 10 days.
Uh-huh.
And on the 10th day, they said, they heard a voice in their head that said, when are you going to get some time to yourself?
Exactly.
And I've had some moments like that where I'm like, wow, this absolutely doesn't have my best interest in mind because it's so ridiculous.
Yes.
When I apply it to my circumstances, but I guess, I guess I'm just having a hard time knowing when a change is really necessary and when my conditioning really has me.
That's the thing. That's the thing that we have going for us. But what we have to do is to step outside of conditioning to imagine what I'm talking about, okay? If what you are here to do in life is get it right, then, well, my condolences, okay?
Right.
But if you were here for that, then probably the best thing to do is look to your social conditioning and try to do everything it tells you to do to the best of your ability.
Mm.
Now, it will end in failure, regret, mm-hmm. and suffering. But, mm-hmm. you know, if a person wants to go that route, that would be the thing to do.
Right.
If you get it, that what you have is the opportunity to awaken and end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's what you're going for,
yeah.
Then what you can do is begin to trust what I think you already sense,
mm-hmm.
that you don't need to do anything.
Right.
That life is going to unfold perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And that from that place, If it's something like a job, how long should I stay in this job? From your heart, if you stay in the moment with your heart, at some point you will no longer be able to maintain that job.
Right. It just happens.
That's right. And it could happen in any kind of way. I was just talking with a friend of mine right before the show who's very devout Christian. Mm-hmm. And so she just knew that she knew what God wanted her to do. And it was take this certain position. And she was so qualified. So, I mean, it was just a no-brainer. It was just the obvious mm-hmm. next step. And she wasn't offered the job.
Oh.
Okay? Now, you know, I mean, that's on a lot of levels. How could I have been so wrong about what I thought God wanted me to do? That's the first one. So she had an opportunity to go work with these folks for a while. And it became immediately clear to her that not only was this not the right place for her, but she didn't even want this job.
Mm.
And I said, and so you were saved from yourself. Okay?
Yeah.
Because left to herself, she would have taken that job and then quickly, we guess, become fairly miserable and then had to see it as a spiritual opportunity, especially right. because she believed that God really wanted her to do this.
Right.
You know, and
right.
when you've got that behind you, you're a dangerous human being. You know, I know
right.
God's will, and I'm going
no,
to do
I've
it.
I've had enough of that in my life.
Oh,
left,
it's,
I don't need that.
Yeah, it's just terrifying. So to be saved from ourselves, sometimes, you know, how are you going to get out of this job? Or when is it time? They fire you. Okay, well, that's
right.
one way to get out of it. That's not, you know, perhaps the one that you would most idealize. But it is the kind of thing I mean, where suddenly life will just simply shift around.
Mm-hmm.
And you will no longer be where you were. And you mm-hmm. didn't have to do a thing to make it
right.
happen.
Right.
Now, some people can say, well, that sounds suspiciously like some sort of magical thinking. And, yeah, I admit it could. I don't think that that's what it is. Life lives us.
Right, and I've had experiences like that where things were going really well and I wasn't running around trying to orchestrate my circumstances. It was just
yes.
happened. And then if I try to take that as some formula
yes.
and then apply it to now
yes.
or to the
you
future,
fall
then
on
it
your
creates
face.
Suffering because
yes.
it's no longer appropriate.
Exactly.
Maybe
exactly.
it is. But
well, the thing that's so frustrating for us as conditioned human beings is that there's nothing to learn.
Right.
You know, the truth has no application. What's true is true. It's simply true. It's
mm-hmm.
not something that, as you've noticed, you can drag from this moment into the next moment so it'll be true there.
Right.
Because it's not. That moment has its own truth.
Right.
And truth simply, as I use it, simply means what is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's very hard for us because our conditioning says we have to get this right. We have to know. We have to make the right decisions. We have to be clever. We have to. We have to. We have to. We have to. But mm-hmm. life is constantly giving us information that says mm-hmm. if there is a have to, it's you have to let go.
Mm-hmm.
You have to open up. You have to be willing to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And then life will just take wonderful care of you, which, let me hasten to say, does not mean you won't get sick, you won't get in an accident, you won't die, you won't
right.
lose your job. You know, it's not
right.
it's not that. It's the quality of the life that we're having, not the circumstances of the life that we're having.
Right.
Yeah. Because nobody's excused from life. You know, old age, sickness, and death, it's going to happen to all of us if we stick around long enough.
Right.
Yeah. But you can right. be happy with it or unhappy with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can actually be happy with old age, sickness, and death.
Right, or I can create more suffering on top of it with my thought
patterns.
Right.
That's right. Or you could, as many people have managed, be unhappy with youth, health, and life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm looking forward to your new book. I've been experiencing a free fall of the last few months. And
you want to turn it into a graceful dive, huh?
Well, I'm watching myself wanting to grab and latch on to something, anything to prevent it from sure. continuing, although I have a deeper sense that this is beautiful and necessary if I want to be the kind of person that I am.
Yeah, that you are. Yeah. That's right. If you want to realize the person that you already are.
Right.
In every moment, yeah.
Right.
And when I'm in that kind of place, and it's for me, kind of every day is that kind of place. Mm-hmm. I think about Saint Teresa of mm-hmm. Avila, mm-hmm. and you know that her technique was, thank you,
mm.
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's somebody said, now somebody can maybe call in and tell me who said this. For everything that has been, thank you. For everything to come, yes.
Mm. It's powerful.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, my dear.
Yeah. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Paige. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, that was some fascinating stuff there.
Big, huh?
Yeah.
It's big stuff we're into here.
Big, big stuff, week after week.
Yeah.
And I heard you say life lives us.
Mm-hmm.
And what occurred to me is that I can get out of the way, and it can be beautiful and enjoyable.
Yes.
Or I can struggle it and try to nudge it this way and nudge yes. it that way. And
yeah. Yeah. You know, if you watch somebody dance, who's a really good dancer,
mm-hmm.
the thing that, to me, becomes immediately apparent is that the body knows how to dance.
Mm.
And if you watch somebody, and this is a dancer, this is a great athlete, anybody who's able to get out of the way and let the body do what the body can do, you know, it's a beautiful thing to behold.
Yeah.
And then you can see the person whose mind is in charge of the body, and it's painful.
Mm.
It's just painful because, yeah. you know, the mind can't dance, and the mind can't actually do sports. The mind can watch sports, which I think is the reason that that's so popular in this country.
Yeah.
You know, we're a nation of spectators rather than participants.
Yes.
Because if we're going to participate in anything and really enjoy it, it tends to require, the enjoyment tends to require letting go of conditioned mind and its ideas and standards and opinions and all of those kinds of things that make suffering so readily available to us. So, yeah, life lives us. And when we allow life to simply flow through us and go in the direction that it wants to go, because, yeah, Alan Watts was the one who talked about the universe peoples in the same way a tree leafs.
The universe peoples.
Yeah. And so the leaf from the tree, the relationship of the tree and the leaf, you know, is a very lovely and supportive and helpful relationship on both sides. And the universe peoples. So life has something for each one of us, a place for each one of us, which we can see. We exist. We exist in a place.
Right, right.
And so to assume, I always laugh that people want to know what the purpose of life is and what their purpose is. And, you know, what am I know I'm here to do something. What is, and I think, you're here to live. What else is there?
We're as here, if that's not enough.
As if that's not enough. Millions and millions and millions of people have lived on this earth and died, and nobody knows that they were here. All of their stressing and striving is for naught. And
yes.
yet we approach it as if, you know, the whole thing hinges on our to-do list. So
yes.
to realize that to be here, to be alive is, you know, I just got back from Costa Rica, right?
Yes.
Pura Vida.
Pura Vida. Being alive.
Yeah, to just be alive and to be the most alive person we can be, which is a completely joyful experience. That's probably enough.
Yes.
Yes, and life, as far as I can tell, really wants that for us. And we are busy nudging.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're
yes.
busy just trying to turn that tango into...
Push it this way.
Yeah, exactly.
Get what we want.
Yeah, yeah. I should have more of this. Less, I don't really deserve. Well, okay, yeah, I know, but I can't really take that in because it seems so selfish. And, you know, just say yes.
Just say yes. Sherry, we have a caller who knows the source of the quote.
Oh, wonderful.
That you just said.
Wonderful. Good. Let's find out.
Tom, you're on Open Air with Sherry Huber, and I understand you have some information for us.
Yeah, hi, Michael and Sherry.
How are you? Hi, Tom.
I know who said the quote that Sherry read about, for all that has been, thanks, and not for all that will be, yes.
Who was that?
That was, I'm going to mutilate the name, but it's Dag Hammarskjöld.
Hammarskjöld.
That sounds better than what I said.
Yes, he was the head of the United Nations, right?
That's right. He was the Secretary General.
Yeah.
And I just love that quote. Ever since I've heard it, it's always been on my mind.
Oh. Well, thank you.
Sure. And today it was even more useful because I had a problem where my wife called up and said, the baby is driving me crazy. And those are very difficult calls to take.
Yes, because doesn't everything in you want to say, and what am I supposed to do about that, dear?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And that was the exact question I had to ask myself. What does this have to do with me? And it's one of the most difficult things to just listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. To be willing to just listen and hear and know that, yes, it is difficult and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that it's a struggle, and yeah.
Yeah.
Because so often that's all we want, isn't it?
Just someone to listen.
Just somebody to listen, and to be able to call you and say, this is what's going on, and life is really hard, and I can complain and whine a little bit, and at the end of it, you're going to love me anyway, and that's all I really needed. I actually don't need for you to fix my life.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's one of the hardest things to hold back.
Uh-huh.
It's just wanting to fix that situation so much.
Yeah, because if you're going to call up here and tell me what's wrong with you, that's going to activate my what's wrong with me.
That's right.
Okay, and so I already had stuff wrong with me, and now you've called with your what's wrong with you, and now that's wrong with me. And, you know, my ship is already going down, and I certainly don't need you crawling on board.
That's exactly right, because what was going on for me is I'm working from home today, and I had all my work going on.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't need anything else to come up.
But exactly.
It
yeah.
did, and I was able to be quiet, and I was actually able to get on with my work, and everything got resolved just fine.
Yeah, yeah. Those few minutes of just undivided attention, huh, and that unconditional acceptance, and we're all bucked up.
That's right.
You know, in that. I mean, you get strengthened by it. She gets strengthened by it. You know, probably the baby gets strengthened by it.
That's yeah. right.
Yeah. Good.
So the whole day just changed from then.
Don't you love happy endings?
I do.
Yeah, even if it's not an ending. You know, if it's just a, you know, sort of a chapter.
Well, that's right. And, you know, tomorrow this part of me will be back again and we'll get to have another encounter.
Exactly. Which is good, isn't it?
It is.
Because what are we talking about when we want it to be over? You know, that's called dead. And and we really don't actually want that. What we want is what you experienced today, to be able to meet a challenging situation in life with an open heart, with kindness and compassion, and feel the success of that. That makes a good day, not having people call us with problems.
That's right. Yeah. That is what makes a good day.
Yeah.
It has been a good day.
Yeah, good. All right. Thank you for that, Tom.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tom. Sherry, we've come to the end of our show.
Wow.
It was just fast and furious.
Action-packed.
One call after another.
Welcome. We like that.
We do like that.
Yes, we encourage that sort of behavior
yes.
on the part of the listeners.
Yes.
Because it's so much more fun when everybody participates.
Exactly. Yeah. They can do the right thing and call, pick
exactly.
up and call. So if you want to join us next week, the number is 650-723-9010. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We're in a new time and day, Tuesdays, 4:45 to 5:40 p.m. It's
yes.
good to be here.
Yes, it's great to be here, and we're going to try to be here for a while.
Yes.
But if something changes, we'll let people know.
That's right.
Good.
Coming up next, we have Stanford News at 5:40 p.m., followed by Stanford Baseball against San Jose State at 5:50. Later on, the Bot of Euphony at 9 p.m. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Good night.
Good night.